a degree in journalism. So Washington State would give had a journalism course, but you would graduate with a degree in English. But they also had a radio station, which the University of Washington did not have at that time, to my knowledge. And you see, it was the land-grant colleges, and that Washington State was one of these, that I think was were authorized by the Department of Agriculture, I don't know, by the government at any rate, to have a radio station which broadcast news to homeowners, homemakers, farmers, and KWSC was one of the earliest. I think there were two. There was KDKA, I think, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, or someplace like that, and KWSC. There were two early ones. Well, at any rate, I could take radio writing and radio broadcasting there. So I decided I would take English journalism course. And I got an NYA job, National Youth Administration job, for $37.50 a month, writing radio copy for KWSC while I went to school. And I would go up there early in the morning. They had news broadcasts. And anchormen were students. They were all students who had taken speech, and they were becoming broadcasters. And I wrote the news program for them. And then at the same time, I wrote copy that was sent out to all the newspapers on what kind of radio, well, it was the schedule of the radio programs with some description, little stories about some of the programs that were beyond KWSC. I wrote that too. And then I did some work for the Agricultural Extension Service, wrote some copy for them. So I did that all the way through college. Mm-hmm. And they paid $37.50, and then I think it went to 40 something. I've forgotten what that was, but I had to
a month.
Yeah. And that was a good experience. So, journalism course, what they called English journalism, had in it. Well, you had to take science. I took chemistry. I had to take two sciences. I took chemistry and zoology, both of which I loved very much. And there was political science and history, and I just loved the political science. Pardon?
What did you like about political science?
Political theory. Mm-hmm. Such things as what I found fascinating were the utopias, for example, that people tried to establish in France and then in the United States, Oneida, the colony of Oneida, and what were some of the others?
New Harmony.
Yeah.
Places like that.
Yeah, I found that fascinating, you know. And then you were required to take philosophy. And I guess if I were to pick one subject in college that I enjoyed more than anything else and that probably did me more good than anything else, it was philosophy. Mm-hmm. And we had a philosophy professor whose name was Frank Potter, Dr. Frank Potter. He was a man of rather small stature, maybe about 5'8", something like that, and a face that looked almost, well, his hair was always kind of unkempt. His suits were, He was partially bald, and his hair kind of was kind of stringy. He was clean, but he looked kind of unkempt most of the time. His suits were sort of floppy, and some people made fun of him, and his face looked something like, what's the big ape with the red hair?
Orangutan?
Yeah, sort of like that, his face did. But what a wonderful person, wonderful person. And I could just go to his classes and just be so uplifted and so stimulated. I'd come out of there just feeling high. Mm-hmm. And he and his wife elected not to have children because they wanted to relate to the students in the college in such a way that they would have these students into their home to discuss philosophical questions. And if they've had children, they wouldn't have been able to do that. That was the way they thought. And I would be invited to go to their home with other students who were some of his A students in philosophy. And we'd have these marvelous discussions on all phases of philosophy and all kinds of ideas. And
can you think of some particular things?
Pardon?
Can you think of some particular things that you talked about?
Oh, communism, for example. We would discuss that a lot. Mm-hmm. Plato, a lot of discussions of various ideas from Plato. I don't know, it was far ranging. Mm-hmm. I can't think of all the things now, but a lot of some of the theories of Spinoza and some of the other philosophers like Hegel. Mm-hmm. And we would discuss the problem of wars, war and peace a lot. And then through that, I became acquainted with a couple of students. One was an engineering student. His name was Kiefer. I think it was K-E-E-F-E-R or something like that. And then there was another one who was quite a good track man. I can't recall whether he ran a mile or something, but he was good in track. And they started publishing a little pamphlet called Upstream. And distributed it in the campus, a little paper, not very big, but mm-hmm. but they would solicit some articles and that, and poems and things like that. And so I did some writing for that, and I remember writing quite a long piece on why we should stay out of the World War II, the early stages, when the British were fighting the British and the French were fighting Germany. I remember using the argument that Roosevelt was doing the wrong thing by helping the British, because how could you maintain neutrality when you did these things? And looking back on it, I see how wrong I was. Although I think if you looked at it from purely a logical standpoint, I was right. You know, you couldn't be neutral and do these things. But we should have been in the war earlier, and I later revised my thinking. Well, that got me into even a greater interest in philosophy, and so I took philosophy courses that I needn't have taken. for it wasn't a requirement, just because I loved it so much. And in about 1938, you know, you were required then to take military if you went to college. Mm-hmm. And all the young men were required to have 2 years of military. And then they asked me if I was, they came to me and wrote me a note or something, I forgot, in the military department, wanting to know whether I wanted to go on and take advanced military. And it began to look more and more like we were going to get into a war, so I decided to take advanced military. So I did. I'm thankful ever since that.
So you were thinking at the time that if a war started, you would...
Then I would then be an officer.
Be an officer.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And that was a... I've been thankful that I did that. Otherwise, I might have had a rough time.
Yeah, that's right. Were you a utopian in your thinking?
Although I was influenced a little bit by a girl that I had dated making the statement that she thought it was nice for people to take this advanced military, mm-hmm. and she'd like to see these uniforms and that sort of thing. I think that influenced me a little, too. I was not a utopian. You know, I at one time I probably leaned to being quite leftish, because, and I don't think it was so unusual in those days for young people in college to look back at World War I and say, well, look at what's happening here, and you had all these things being written about the arms merchants and the profiteering and warfare and all that sort of thing, much of which I finally learned later was not particularly true. Mm-hmm. And I read Marx, Karl Marx, and I think I was leaning very much to the left. Mm-hmm. And then I read Plato. And Plato's Republic, and suddenly it became clear to me that I wouldn't want even a philosopher king kind of government, where somebody decided what you had to be, and that's what you were assigned to be the rest of your life. And then I began to take a look at, well, let's see, what does they teach in communism? And suddenly it became clear to me that communism and Plato's Republic were very much alike. Mm-hmm. And so I guess that's when I started to become conservative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was Potter radical or conservative?
You never knew.
Oh, really? He wasn't propagandizing, is that right?
Oh, not at all. Uh-huh. Not at all. You would never know what he really, what his feelings really were. He used the Socratic method, you know, in these discussions, and he drew you out. Mm-hmm. And I think he was not leftish. Because I got to know him well enough that I think I could sense what his real feelings were. I'm sure I could sense what his feelings were in religion, about religion, because he really kind of discussed that with me one time. Mm-hmm. And he believed there was some kind of God, you know, but he certainly didn't believe in Orthodox. Didn't have an Orthodox belief, and that happened to fit my own thinking too. My own thinking too. Well, at any rate, politically, I would suspect that he would have picked and chosen among candidates based on what he thought he knew they were, in relation to the issues, mm-hmm. knew where they stood in relation to the issues. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that he would have felt that we should be doing more for the poor. And I think this was the sort of thing that had started to lead me, that plus what I read about warfare and the horrible things that happened in World War I, that started to lead me down the lane to a leftist viewpoint, mm-hmm. is that I could see all the injustices that existed. But when I read Plato, I could see all kinds of injustice that would exist there. Mm-hmm. So I began to be, and then having taken political science courses too, I began to see that. And incidentally, I had a professor whose name was Deutsch. Deutsch, and another one named Johnson in political science, who traced for me a number of times and for his students how democratic government, let's say the legislature in the state of Washington, made mistakes. And sometimes we bumbled along and did things we shouldn't do, but in the long run, they came out very well. In this kind of brokerage system that goes on in legislatures and in Congress. And I began to see that maybe this system that we have is ideally suited to correct injustices with a sort of broad brush, maybe taking too long, and what sometimes we think is too long, but in the long run avoids a lot of pitfalls that more structured, more controlled, authoritative government fall into. And produces a sort of pretty good thing in the long run for the majority of the people. Mm-hmm. And I think Potter would have had a similar outlook. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he's still a very respected person, although he's now dead.
Yeah.
Had a lot of.
Yeah, he sounds like a pretty remarkable person.
Well, he really was. Yeah.
So that I could